God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. May God bless the reading of his word. That's a great opening line, isn't it? In the beginning, God created. There's an importance to opening lines. It can either grab your interest or kind of not grab your interest, and you're just going to be bored. You have little interest in what's coming next. So here's an opening line for you. See if you know where it comes from. Where's Papa going with that axe? Where's Papa going with that axe? Charlotte's Web. Charlotte's Web. Some of you might know this one. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Anybody know the author? Maybe you don't know the book or the author. Charles Dickens. A Tale of Two Cities. Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And then it goes on, right? It goes on and on and on. Two households, both alike in dignity. Two households, both alike in dignity. Romeo. It's just the English teachers over here feeding you the answers. Romeo and Juliet, right? I mean, it sets the tone, doesn't it? Two households, both distinguished with dignity, right? And then the story unfolds, right? This one I remember from my high school days. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. George Orwell in 1984. Did you anybody read 1984 in their classrooms? Well, of course. The first line of a story or a novel can be so powerful it'll stick with you for years and years and years and years. Writers know the importance of opening lines. Preachers know the importance of opening lines. It tells the reader to pay attention because this is what we're going to talk about. It's the thesis statement upon which everything else would be built. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no mistaking about this book. There's no mistaking about what's happening, the Genesis, the beginning of what's happening. It's all about beginnings, beginnings created and caused by God. Here's your first one. God gives form. God gives form. Genesis tells the beginnings of the universe. Genesis tells the beginnings of the world, life, humanity, sin, civilization, the beginning of nations, Israel, the redemption of mankind. Genesis, in the beginning, God. Before time, God. Before creation, God. Before order came out of chaos, God. Before matter ever became a matter, God. Before rhyme or reason, God. Before sense or sensibility, God. In the simplest of statements, in the beginning, God. God created a beginning. Just let that soak for a while. God created a beginning for you, for me, for the heavens, and for the earth. And it goes on, if you continue to read through the other books and go towards the end, there's something about a new heaven and a new earth. God created the heavens. He started the beginning. We catch a glimpse of the right order of things, a necessary order of things. the divinely approved order of the universe, and the only order, in fact, in which the universe actually works and operates. We must begin with God, who created the beginnings. He made the beginnings. And as we forge into a new year, I would like to issue maybe a challenge for each of us to put things in a divine order. To put things in a divine order. What does it look like to put things in a divine order? Well, before you begin a relationship, God. Before you end a relationship, God. Before you quit a job and start a new job, God. Before you quit church, God. Before you take another narcotic, God. Before you spend money, God. Before you speak, I wonder if we got the right order, right? It might end some of the chaos in our lives. If we lived our lives in a divine order, I wonder if it might end some of the depression, some of the frustration, some of the anger. I wonder if we put things in the right divine order, if it might actually end some of the sin in our lives. It didn't say we weren't going to face trials in the upcoming year. We're going to face a lot of trials. However, many of us are living in chaos before we even begin to walk into a new year, struggling and floundering and drifting in no direction. There's no order to your life. It's kind of like asking this question. Is life happening for you or is life happening to you? Many choose to live outside the order of God. And outside the order of God, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. There's a lot of aggravation. There's a lot of impatience. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of anger. But God gives form, here's your next slide, and structure to your existence. To your existence. He gives form and structure to the heavens, to the earth. He started the starting point. He gives form and structure to everything that exists. See, there was a form of you before you came into existence. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. What does that even mean? Praise be to God the Father and the Lord and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him. I'm reading right out of the scriptures. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined for us adoption into the sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to the one he loves. See, it's kind of like a potter sits down to mold a vase. He has a form of what it would be like in his mind already. He crafts it, molds it, shapes it. See, there's a form of you before you ever came to be. Is this too deep for you on a New Year's day when you're nursing a hangover? I'm convinced that if we adjusted our agenda, our motivation, our desire, our dreams, our goals would be in order with his, in alignment. Our lives would have greater fulfillment and greater purpose. You would be in alignment with your creator. Instead of trying to figure out and make something of yourself, you're discovering who you are. God ordered and formed an entire universe. He can be trusted to place your life in order. If he can handle the complexities of designing the human body and the human mind, he can certainly design a plan for your life. If he can knit the stars together, he can guide your career paths. He can channel the waters to flow properly. He can surely guide you to the next step. Why do we make statements like, I believe in God as our creator, and then reject him to handle your life? He's the master of the universe, but he can't help me find a job. He's the master and the creator of all things, but he can't help me in my addiction. He's the master of the universe, but he can't help me with my anger. He's the master of the universe, but he can't heal my body. Yes, he can. He's the master of the universe. Can he transform my attitude? God, I hope so. If I could just get all of us, including myself, into a place where we put God at the beginning of our lives, he would show himself strong in our lives. So the challenge is simple in concept, but very difficult in reality. To reorder your entire life this year, to put God at the beginning of everything, of every day, of every circumstance, of every decision. See, God gives life. That's your next one. God gives a form, but he gives life. There was a form of you that existed, but now you exist. There's a form of you, and then you came to be. Long before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, long before you were the apple of his eye, God knew you. It is so significant, it's not just a matter of who you are. I need some water. But it's a matter of when you are. God created this form of you, so it's not a matter of that he just placed you somewhere. He placed you some when. Where would you rather be? Well, anywhere but here. When will the time be right? Well, any time but now. There's going to be a battle this year. For the priority in the first place in your life. And it's going to go on every day of this year. 365 days, there's going to be a battle. There's a natural and a supernatural battle that is taking place for your attention and for your allegiance. Bad things will try to come and take first place in your life. Bad things are going to come and try to take first place in your life. Good things are going to come into your life and try to take out God things in your life. To see it over and over and over again, and year after year after year after year, particularly the tyranny of the urgent. The tyranny of the urgent overrides that which is important. The urgent has the power to elevate itself to that, to elevate that which is trivial to that which is vastly important and right now. Tyranny of the urgent has this effect of a high-pressure salesperson. You better act now. Time is running out. You better act now or you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the deal. You're going to miss out on the opportunity. It is easy to talk about a divine order in your life. However, the reality to do so will enlist you in a full-blown, all-out, blood and guts, day after day, spiritual warfare with yourself, with others that are around you, with all the mass distractions that are around you and with your time. If you do not embrace the fact that good things and bad things are going to come against you and try to urgently distract you from God things, you're going to drop out quick. You're going to fall away this year fast. And you will give into that which is unimportant. You will give in to that which is unimportant in the depths of your spiritual walk. So, I know this is the first message of the year, and I'm kind of struggling to get through it. But this message is not for the faint of heart. This message is not for the weekend warrior, the Christian weekend warrior. This is for those who are tired of the chaos. That are tired of the confusion, that are tired of the mediocre existence, that are tired of the world telling them what to prioritize. That's who this message is for. Because if you've made God a priority in your life, then God needs to remain a priority in your life. See, if you have more than one priority, you don't have a priority. This is for those who are kind of willing to fight back with the advancement of everything that's going to come against you, that will try to take God out of first place. And everything's going to come against you, whether it's good or whether it's bad. This is for those who want a life with God, that want to walk in the ways that God has designed them for. I want to walk the ways in which God has designed for me, not try to walk my way and ask God to bless me, but to say, why am I even here? What's the point of me? Why not ask the Creator? That's the best place to start. It's the best place to stay. What does it look like to give a divine order? Well, you can't give God second place, and I'm dare to say it, because this is a challenge for many. You can't give him second place, and you can't give him second best. I read a long time ago, you know, deliberate mediocrity is a sin. You choose not to be all that God has asked of you to be. You choose it. See, he who knows what ought to be done and not do it, James would say, is a sin. To put God at the beginning means that other things have to move down in priority, so to speak. The position that God holds in your life, it's revealed. It's revealed very easily by the allocation of your time, by the allocation of your talents. The position that God holds in your life, revealed by what you spend your money on, what amount of energy you put forth, where you place your attentions. We have become way too comfortable with God as an alternative choice. God cannot and he will not be your alternate choice. Because if he's an alternate choice, you have chosen an idol over him. Everything God needs to know about you, he can see in your faithfulness to his church. He can see in his faithfulness by your giving and your generosity, how you spend your time, who you pray with, who you pray for. Everything God needs to know about you can be watched in your servanthood and your attitude towards the lost. Listen closely. Because when the divine order is wrong, the benefits and the blessings that come from living rightly and orderly are forfeited and lost. When the divine order is wrong, I don't want you to miss the blessings. When the divine order in your life is wrong, the benefits and the blessings that come from living rightly are lost and forfeited. You missed out on the blessings. God wants to bless you. God wants to reward you. God wants to. But if you're moving in a direction, why would he reward and honor bad behavior? He's not gonna fund you so you can have an alternative God. Who or what sits on the throne of your life? It's beginning of the year. Good time to check yourself. Is it TV? Car? Him? Her? Them? Sports? No time for the word, but plenty of time for that TV show. I got no money to give, but my nails are done every other week. I got no money to give, but man, I got the latest cell phone. Check it out. They're all secured without a second thought. No need for relationships or fellowship, but nights at the casino, pretty commonplace. I never miss a bowling night. Everything God needs to know about you is how you prioritize your time, your talents, and your treasures. How do you prioritize? What is a priority in your life? And is it in a divine order? I'm not saying don't go bowling. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, is God at work in your life? You'll see how it comes. This is the first day of 2023 with a great opportunity to make God first. Choose him every day. See, the reality is you don't win championships by accident. Anybody watch some great football games yesterday? There was some awesome football games yesterday. Nobody won by accident. You don't fall into heaven by accident. Are you choosing God purposefully this year? Have we lost the discipline aspect of discipleship that we're just casual? See, and if you're casual about your relationship with God, I think you'll become a casualty. I know not one of us has stumbled into a disciplined walk. You won't accidentally become a radical follower of Christ. You won't accidentally read through the New Testament in a year. You don't accidentally attend Bible study. You don't accidentally fast. You don't accidentally evangelize. You don't accidentally invite somebody to church. You don't accidentally pray more. You don't reign victorious in your life by accident. You must intentionally choose to do so. A choice to place God first. A choice to pray for decisions. A choice to pray with your children. To bring peace into your home. It looks different. Is your home going to look the same as it did last year? Or is it going to be better because of you and God? It should feel different. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The Lord who gave us form gives us life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, other things, will be added unto you. We love that quote. Comes right out of Matthew. But watch, I think it's kind of a weak attempt to convince ourselves that we're actually seeking God. Because seek ye first the kingdom, doesn't happen by accident. And it's not passive. Seek is an active word. It means strive after. It means require or demand. It means moving toward the kingdom of God. And the proof of desire is in the pursuit. What are you going to pursue this year? Everything about your desire will be revealed in what you're pursuing. And if you're going to begin with God, it's going to be an intentional act. And it will be because we force ourselves to make the right choices, the right time allocations, and the right changes. Anybody have a Fitbit? You get one of those Fitbit watches. Melinda got like a Fitbit watch for. Yeah, she's like glued to it now, like five times a day. How many steps did I take? And right? Anybody else who's got some Fitbits? I know people got Fitbits. Come on now. I know, right? Yeah, I walked. I had my 5,000 steps today. I need to get another 3,000 in. Tells you when to wake up, when to take a walk. I think we need a Bible bit. What's a Bible bit? Time for you to read some scripture. Time for you to read some scripture. Bing, 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 bing goes up. Time for you to pray for your neighbor. Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, bing, 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 time to get up and go to church. There's a Bible bit. Oh, then it measures your steps, right? And it measures heart, right? Measure heart rate sometimes, pulse and blood, right? We need one that measures words. Like, you've talked too much in this conversation. It's time to listen. Be anxious for nothing. Your heart rate seems a little high. Here's your next slide, too. Maybe this will help us this year. You know how many people try to tell me and convince me how successful they are because of how busy they are? I don't define that as success. Perhaps if we stop the glorification of busy, we'll have a calmer outlook for 2023. The busier we are, sometimes it feels the more important that we are. The busier we are, the more worthy we are. The busier we are, the more important that we are or seem to other people. You know, we left that a long time ago as a church. I left that a long time ago. We grabbed hold of what success might look like, a little less stress, a little more peace, a little less anxiousness, a little less pressure, a little less tension. See, longevity is a form of longer life. I remember having a mentor pastor tell me very clearly, you know, you might want to pace yourself so that you last through the marathon. Otherwise, you're going to burn out way too soon. Are you on the way to burnout? Can you keep the pace that you've got going? Maybe we need to realign ourselves, not outpace God, not lag behind, but be at peace and at pace and walk with God. Because I don't think God is in the midst of all the confusion. I don't think he's in a hurry. I don't think he's all stressed out. I don't think the Holy Spirit that is within you is squeezing you and prompting you. And I think he's trying to bring an awareness to you. What is he trying to tell you? What will you be in 2023? I need some t-shirts. What will you be 2023? I can tell you exactly what you'll be in 2023. You will be the product of your choices. You'll be the byproduct of your priorities. We all know this phrase, at least if we don't, we should. Good intentions are worthless, right? Good intentions, what's that? What's the good intentions? The phrase, the road to hell, paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Most New Year's resolutions won't make it past the first month. Watch. Here we go. Here's your next slide. We judge others by their behavior. We judge ourselves by our intention. And if you have, I hope, to do better next year, you've already failed. I'm challenging you to discipline yourself to God's purposes in your life. God gives a form, he gives life, and here's your last one, he gives purpose. He gives purpose. God gave us order. It will be some of the hardest battles that you'll fight is the recognition of the urgency of the tyranny of the urgent and the recognition that there are good things in your life that will take over the God things in your life if you allow them. I could allow them all the time, but I wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning. I could allow them all the time, but I wouldn't make Wednesday Bible study. I would do it all the time, but I have to place God as a priority. There's a lot of good things that I want to introduce into your life and that God wants to introduce into your life. And he will introduce into your life if God is the priority. There's usually a calm assurance instead of chaos. There's abundant blessings instead of being broken, busted. There's direction and destiny instead of distractions and chaos. And people are bounced from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the latest fad on the TV to the latest thing that's going on in the church to the and God's not center. God is the center. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Why were things even created? In the beginning, God. Why? For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. That includes you. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed upon the cross. Jesus first. He's the first in order. He's the first in importance. He's the center of everything. This is what he should be in our lives. If God describes him this way, how would you describe him in your life? The center of all things? The Holy Spirit that dwells within you surely defines him this way. The center of all things, created for all things, by all things, in all things. That same Spirit that dwells within you, if you follow the Spirit, that's where you find yourself. If you find you're following the flesh, you're not there. This year, instead of worrying about putting Jesus first in your life, what if we concentrated on making him the center of our origin? What does that mean? Well, see, it's not just about the top priority of every, right, in front of every priority, but in every priority. Here's how I try to explain it. But it's not like, you know, we say God, family, business, right? We say God, family, business, and I'm trying to put everything in a priority. But this helps bring it all a little bit better. See, it's not Jesus, then my family. It's Jesus in my family. It's not Jesus, then my career. It's Jesus in my career. It's not Jesus and then church. It's Jesus in my church. It's not Jesus and then money. It's Jesus in my money. Do you understand? It's the beginning point. In all things. In all things. It's the beginning point, the origin, the origination point for all things in your life. Do you understand? That's the priority. It's not that there's money in your life and family in your life and relationships in your life and they all have to take second place while I give my life to Jesus. It's Jesus in the midst of all your life. Are you following me? Am I explaining this as God gives it? I hope so, because it can change everything about your life. He will change everything about your life. And it's not like, got to get rid of all this stuff so that I can have Jesus. It's Jesus in all of your stuff. He gave you form. He gave you life. And he gives you purpose. He does that for his pleasure and goodwill. Isn't that amazing? You bring God pleasure just by your existence. And you thought it was about what you do. You thought he hated you because of what you do. Like you hate any of your children because of what they do. There's a divine order. If we get it right, we will walk much happier, much more at peace, much more in joyfulness. Today we remember the communion table as well, and remember what Christ has indeed done for us. I want to read it to you again. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. In the beginning, God created. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or powers, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Before he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Does he have supremacy in all things in your life? God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed upon the cross. Today, we get to be at peace with God because of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. So I invite you to participate. You don't have to be a member of New Life Alliance Church. You have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and recognize that he died for the forgiveness of your sins. How many churches are there in Palm Beach County? Thank you. I could have help me serve, maybe my elders or whoever's going to help me. We got enough? We only need a few. There we go. Father in heaven, we just come before you, thanksgiving and praise this new day. Happy new day. Happy new year. Father, we remember all that you have done for us. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which you continue to work within each and every one of us. As we humble ourselves before you in remembrance of what Christ has done, we invite, Father, you invite all those to partake, that would receive you and accept you and prioritize you in the new and upcoming year. Gentlemen, if you would, please. Thank you.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
He was gathered with his disciples, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them saying, take this and eat this, for this is a body broken for you, given as a ransom. Let us partake.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. Is teach my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Took the cup. Giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and drink this. This is a cup of my blood, shed and spilled out for the forgiveness of your sins, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between God and man. Let us partake." Without the guitar, change my heart. Let's make it a prayer, right? Let's make it a prayer. In this moment, the clinging plastics go away. Everybody gets settled into a place. We can bask in the presence of God, in the remembrance of what he has done for us.
Change my heart, oh God.
Come on, church, lift him up.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Shaping our souls. Father, continue to pull out that which doesn't belong. And Father, replace with yourself. May we find more peace, more love, more grace, more mercy, more self-control. May we find more of you in our walk every day this year. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please? I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and out of the mire, out of 2022. Does it say that? And he set my feet upon a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. May God bless you and keep you. Go serve your God. God bless you. Happy New Year!